because we don't want to make sure, because you'll never see it again.
For those of you that got naps, congratulations. Feel free. You will not offend me. It's all the caffeine. It is. Did everybody have good discussion in their small groups? It's always one of my favorite things. Be able to sit down with a small group of guys and just see what's on our hearts and help each other. This will be a little more interactive. We talked about kind of what it looks like in that central place where you're planted your home and the people right around you. And obviously then it starts to grow from there. Let me make sure I pull up the right thing. Is anybody familiar with the story of the wedding feast? The father's having a wedding feast, and he goes to all the people, or he sends his servants out to all the people, and he tells them, he says, go get the guests and bring them in. And he says, at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to examine them. Please have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who are invited shall taste my banquet. We've been invited by our Lord to join this banquet, and there is a cost to it. Whether it is in your home, whether it is outside of your home, it is not without cost. The idea of suffering to many people is that this Christian life is just this comfortable, kind of floating along. I heard someone earlier reference, some of you guys may not know him, Tiny Tim, tiptoeing through the tulips. Anyone remember that? And that, kind of like the joke I made yesterday about, hey, I'm a Christian now, life's perfect, moving on. But there is a cost to discipleship, and there's a cost to the vision of discipleship, and what that looks like. And in the transition where I had come from of that I was going to work, and do these things, I thought that's what it meant. I thought it meant that, okay, so the cost is, I mean, I got to be there to do setup and tear down and this and that, and I'm going to help over here, and I'm going to tell as many people as I can, and I'll be available for this and for that. And the cost, to me, really comes out of the heart. It goes all the way back to Cain and Abel, the offerings of what were given. One was given with the right heart, and one was given not. And God says, He loves a joyful giver. There was a lot of freedom in starting to understand that for me, and that peace in that. And when I'm really understanding that He's doing all the growth, and I'm free to go out here and just participate, it does mean sometimes taking a phone call at 9:30 at night that I didn't really feel like taking, maybe, but needs to be taken. It does mean that I need to show up where I say I'm going to show up and be a man that my yes is yes and my no is no. I was told a story by the man that my Paul, and he showed up, he drove about 45 minutes to go meet this guy. I guess the guy was always late, kind of flaky, he was hard to work with, I don't know. But He shows up one time, and the guy's just not there at all. And he's there before sunup. It's probably Denny's, you know. And he's waiting. Now the sun's coming up. People are coming and going. They've eaten their meals. And he's still sitting there with his cup of Joe going, what? I'm here. You know, I'm doing it. Why isn't this guy here? And he's getting pretty angry. He said that all of a sudden he just felt this nudge like, could you meet with me, Dave? I'm here. I'll meet with you. Changed his entire perspective. Said he, I don't know how long, but next hour, hour and a half, he just sat there by himself in that booth and met with the Lord. I have a good friend that's here that told me one time, I show up with no consideration for whether they're going to show up or not. Because I'm going to meet with God and he's bringing another man. So when I take that perspective in my home, in my neighborhood, and I go out into the world, I'm now going out to meet with God, and he's going to bring these other people. He's going to bring the conversation with my wife, my daughter, my neighbor, my things. I'm available. I'm there. I'm going to be faithful, available, and teachable. I'm going to try to be that. But he's going to take care of all those things. I don't have to go out manifesting. Part of it, when they came to Jesus, they said, the people were coming and saying, you know, we want to follow you. And they said, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, this is in Luke 9, said, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of heaven. The interesting thing that really stood out to me as I was reading these things was he didn't talk about the people around the guy. He didn't talk about it. He said, but to you. It was always to that person. He was always talking to that person. Jesus told stories. He had relationships. He talked with people. He spent time with them. He was in their life and they were in his. He invited them in fully when he was here on earth as a man. And he's still doing that today. I think a lot of times, Paul said something to me about, he said, I got to hear more about this, that you're going to be a pastor thing. So I'm going to tell you guys a little bit more about it. I really was convinced that this was the path, and that if I was, if I went and became a pastor, that then all these things would get fixed in my life. And so I had the whole thing planned out, and in my mind, I was already giving sermons, and I was talking about things, and what would I do? And I was very scared, and I also thought, well, that's how I'll help people come to know God, was by becoming a pastor. Obviously, that's not what happened, but what I found was that that kind of ideology, that thinking in my brain carried on, that the more masters of divinity you have and theology degrees and things like that, the more effective a person could be in the kingdom of God, and that's why they're here. The other day I was encountered by a man that I was meeting with, that he came up to me and he said, I got to talk to you about something. He's a new believer, and he said, I've got people that have noticed a change in me I didn't even know had taken place. I said, yeah, it's pretty common. And he said, they're asking me about this stuff, and I don't know what to tell them. I feel completely unprepared. And he said, I've got my sister asking me, my employees are asking me about it. I don't know what to say. And I shared with him what I believe is really, really good theology. It's 1 John 5:11 and 13. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have life. And he said, okay. I said, Joey, do you know that? He said, I do. I said, then you know plenty to go and share Jesus with people. You do not have to go off and run off to seminary. You do not have to go to... You have the absolute inspired Word of God sitting in front of you. And if you know these things and you start spending time in these things, you can share all the way up to what you has been revealed to you and the gospel has been revealed to you. I took that lesson back to my house and I started thinking about how I was always trying to construct these really creative ways to teach a lesson to my family. I ended up learning a lesson in that it was really a lot more simple than I was making it. As we progress in life, and I really do believe that it is, being in fellowship and iron sharpening iron is great, and it's good, and it's right, and I love being with you guys. But all the running around I did before, I never once got up in the morning and sat with God. I never once got up and sat with the source. And I was tired and frustrated and lonely and more confused at the end of a ministry weekend than I was when we started. You know, I had no more answers. And I finally went to a guy one time and I said, what do I don't understand. I'll just tell him. I don't understand half of what I'm, you know, doing and this and that. And when I open the Bible, I feel like I don't know what I'm reading. And he real simply said, well, that's okay. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. It's a little simple, but at the same time, there's a lot of truth in that. And what I was confronted with was, are you spending any time with the source of life, with the living water, with the bread of life? Are you spending any time with him? And my answer was no, I wasn't. I mean, I was doing all the things, but I wasn't spending time with him. There's a guy that right now he's not doing well. He's older and he's not healthy, and it's affecting his brain. And he's been around this life for a long time. And I got to see something the other day in a conversation with him that I needed to see it. It was a testimony to me. I was having a conversation with him on the phone. He was asking me about the retreat that hadn't happened yet. He was asking me about things that we hadn't talked about. It was almost like I was, you know, talking to someone with dementia. Nothing was making sense. Things weren't tying together. And I went, oh. And I don't say this to put him up. I say this as an example. He was an example to me. All of a sudden he said, well, how are your Timothys doing? And the conversation shifted. And it was like I started talking to a different person. And there was this fluidity and coherency. And he started pouring into me about, if you stay in this life, if you continue this path, you will see the dividends of the Lord. You'll see. And it occurred to me right then, I felt with such power, that's what Jesus living in somebody looks like. This wasn't something he does. This wasn't a hobby of his, and every once in a while he'll drop a little Jesus on you. This had for 40 years had become this man's absolute life. It is his entire identity. He wasn't coherent in any other part of what we were talking about, but when it came to this, because there is nothing he had to think about, it is truly from his heart. Every piece, and this went on for minutes, and then we went back to not knowing what we were talking about. And I thought, wow, Lord, that's what it is to truly be yours, because that is the only thing that is of real value to him. And I saw that as an example to me. I thought, this is what it looks like to truly have Jesus living in and through you and being. And like I said, I don't say it to put him up. That's the fruit. That's the product of a life spent in time with the Lord. And it was encouraging to me because I feel weak sometimes. I feel like I'm not, you know, still, those things still come up sometimes. But that's what it looked like. Spending time with guys, so the discipline came up earlier, and it was talking about you know, what does this look like? And we read a verse from talking about that the Lord disciplines those he loves. This is not, I have found that as I've gone out of my home and into the lives of men and invited them into my home, it's not always easy. And it doesn't have to be. And someone asked me about my wife and whether she was already that, you know, that spiritual woman, or whether it was from being in a relationship with me. I think we sharpen each other. But I said to her one time, there's kind of around the whole same time as focus group conversation, I said something else about, you know, sometimes you meet with them and you just feel like nothing's happening. And it's just like, what am I doing? And her response was, you stay with the Lord and you let him do it. I thought, man, you know, stop having answers. This is, you're supposed to just let me, you know, think about this. But she, it was absolutely right. And what my friend said the other day was, you just keep showing up and you'll see these dividends. And what's amazing is that I learned more. We just took a couple, my wife and I just took a couple through premarital counseling. We had never done that before. I don't know if they knew that, but yay, you were the guinea pig. So we got to try it on you. But we just took them through the same thing that was modeled for us. We literally took them through the same thing that we were taken through. And it was kind of the idea when you start, like, hey, I've got all, we're going to impart these things to you. By the end of it, Rachel and I had learned more about our marriage and where we were. I think they got some good things out of it. I know we got some good things out of it. Giving this thing away and letting him do it, giving this thing away has blessed me in dividends that I can't even put on a board. It's great. It deepens my faith regularly. Guys, I don't want to talk for the sake of talking. These were the things that were put on my heart when I prepared, and these are the things I looked at. There's so many things we could talk about and places we could go down, and there's always more to discuss, right? And in 3 months, we'll do another one of these, and many of us will see each other in between time and talk and pray. But I hope that it was of value, and I hope it was glorifying to the Lord. And that if there's anything that I've said that you need to bring to my attention that wasn't, I welcome it. Please talk to me. I'm just so thankful to have you guys in my life. There were some lone wolves in the Bible that were out there by themselves during, you know, they were prophets. I'm not a prophet. I need this body, this fellowship. I believe that we are the church, that the kingdom of God is relationships with each other. My kind of wrap up was, I don't have to worry about a ministry. He's got the plan and he already has it worked out. It's been that way. We don't have to reposition ourselves to be right in the right spot at the right time so that God's plan can work. That we can just be men of peace. And in that, I really believe we'll be fruitful. That's really all I've got. That's it.
Any questions, guys? Comments? Feedback?
Brad, you mentioned in your second act that a man who didn't want to be loved, I think you were talking about your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Was there other things that were kind of apparent from that that brought you here or brought you to this place? Just the fact that you, I mean, how long did you kind of do it?
Know that he didn't know how to receive love. Last several years of his life. Yeah. He couldn't forgive himself. So he was his own worst enemy in that. He was harder on himself than anyone else was. And so, but his view was that everybody thought that of him. Because he would say that. Well, I know you guys think that. I'd say, damn, I don't think that. But blind is blind, deaf is deaf. I can't make someone hear or see. I don't have that power.
Anybody else? All right. Thank you, Brad.
Thanks.
Just last request. If you guys can put the furniture back roughly how we found it. John, anything?
Our next retreat is in September the 9th and 10th, and it's at Cat Spring. So we have two remaining retreats, September and December. December 1 is the first weekend. I don't have the date.